And in this holy book that I have, it's page 177. Page 177, 171 actually. 171, ayah number 163, Surah Al-A'raf. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واسألهم عن القرية التي كانت حاضرة البحر إذ يعدون في السبت إذ تأتيهم حيتانهم يوم سبتهم إذ تأتيهم حيتانهم يوم سبتهم شرعا ويوم لا يسبتون ويوم لا يسبتون لا تأتيهم كذلك نبلوهم بما كانوا يفسقون وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِظُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِظُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا قالوا معذرة إلى ربكم ولعلهم يتقون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In 163-164, the story of a specific group of Bani Israel, a group that lived in a city called Eilat. You hear about it in the news nowadays. It's on the Red Sea. In Hebrew or Arabic it is Eilah, but today in the news you hear the name Eilat, one of the ancient cities in Palestine. The people of this city were mostly fishermen, and they survived on fishing. That was their main industry and main source of income and livelihood. In the Jewish tradition, in the Jewish religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them that you may work 6 days a week and take a break on one day, and that day is the Sabbath or As-Sabt. As-Sabt and Sabbath, they both have the same meaning, and it means the Sabbath, it means the meaning of it, it means a day of rest, a day of a break, not a day of work. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you can work for 6 days, leave one day to worship me for meditation, for prayers, for reflection, for servitude, for ibadah. And amazingly that the fish would come on that day, the day where fishing is forbidden religiously, they will get so close to their shores, they come so close to their canals, get close to the shores, and then they take their head out of water. They become very visible and very easy to fish. to catch them. Very easy. Other days, 6 days, Sunday through Friday, they go far away. They don't get close. They go far away. They go very deep into the sea. They are very difficult to catch them on the 6 days, on 6 days. Only on Saturday, these fish, they used to come and tease Bani Israel. They get very close to them, and then they get their head out of water. They say, hello, hello, I'm here. You can't catch me, oh. And then they, and it was a big temptation and a big challenge for the community of that city, Eilat. At that time, there were 70,000 people living in that city. It was a big challenge for them not to go fishing, to see the fish come so close to their shores, very easy to catch them, to catch a large amount of them. And maybe if they work on that day, it will, you know, it would be enough for them. They don't need to work the rest of the week. But Allah said to them, no, I don't want you to fish on this day. This is a day of rest. What did they do? Look at the cheating here. Out of 70,000 people, 60,000 people violated these rules. They would put their nets, Muhammad. They will put their nets in these canals. And so when fish, they come close to them, they get caught in these nets. So they don't clear them, they don't capture them on Saturday. They capture them one on Sunday. But in fact, they trap them on Saturday. The actual fishing, the actual entrapment took place on Saturday. So they would come and say, we didn't do fishing, we were resting, you know. So they come on Sunday and they capture them. Allah said, this is a fraud. This is a fraud. And when I asked you not to do anything, not to fish, I meant don't do anything. Don't go close the water. Stay in your temples, in your synagogues, in your homes, and make it a day of family, a day of ibadah, a day where you think about me and give thanks to me and worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Rasulullah, tell the Jews who are in Medina around you, because there were many Jews living around the Prophet in the city of Medina at the time of the birth of Islam. Three main tribes of Jews, they were living in Medina, and some historians, some anthropologists, they believe that the remnants of those Jews, they are still in some pockets in the Arabian Peninsula. Although some of them were expelled from the Arabian Peninsula, but many of them, they do exist in southern part of the Arabian Peninsula, other parts, and in Yemen. The Jews in Yemen, they lived in the Arabian Peninsula for thousands of years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ Tell, وَاسْأَلْهُمْ here, not just ask them, but tell them, inform them, because this is something that I am telling you. You don't find it in a book. You cannot Google it and find the news on Google. So I am the only source of knowledge for you. I am telling you what they did. Their ancestors, hundreds of years ago, they did in Palestine. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ Remind them, tell them, and ask them. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ Do you remember a few weeks ago, I said, whenever we find the term of qariya, although qariya in Arabic means what? What does it mean, qariya in Arabic? Village. But what does it mean in the Quranic terminology when it is mentioned in this book? Does it also mean village or something else? What does it mean? It means a nation. It could means bigger than nation, a civilization, big civilization. Allah calls it qariya, village. So whenever you find qariya in the Quran, Although qarya in the Arabic language, it is village. It's a village. But don't assume that it's a village in the Quran. Quran could call America, the United States of America, it could be called in the Quran village. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ, close by the sea. Which sea is that? The Red Sea. حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ. يَعْدُون, transgress from عُدْوَان, aggression. We told them to take a break, to rest on the Sabbath, not to work, not to go to the shores, not to go to the sea, not to fish. But unfortunately, they violated our command. إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيْتَانُهُمْ. Again, another interesting thing in the Quran. حوت, you know the meaning of حوت. The same thing. No. In Farsi, it's nahank. حوت in Arabic, what does حوت mean in Arabic? The whale. At least twice in the Quran, Allah refers to the fish as what? As hoot. Although the hoot is a huge in size, it's very huge. But Allah sometimes refers to a fish as hoot in the Quran. So you have to be aware of the Quranic terminology. It is sometimes different from the common terminology that the Arab use. It has some differentiation. إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيْتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا. The fish, they come on the Sabbath. شُرَّعًا. شُرَّعًا means openly holding up their heads. Not only they come close, but they raise their head openly out of the water to say, hello, we are here, to tease them. تَأْتِيهُمْ حيتانهم يوم سبتهم شرعا. شرعا, it means that you can see them visible. They raise their head. They are visible. شرعا. ويوم لا يسبتون, other than the Sabbath, the other 6 days from Sunday until Friday, لا تأتيهم. They don't come. The fish, they don't come to the shores. They are in deep waters. So they have to travel long distance from the coast, so they can find the fish and they can, you know, catch them. لا تأتيهم كذلك نبلوهم بما كانوا يفسقون. Beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, thus did we make a trial of them. Trial of whom? The people of this city, the inhabitants of Eilat. We wanted to test them in something which is very difficult to be tested for. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tests us, He has an amazing way of testing us. He would not test me the things that I like to do, but He will test me with things that either I don't like or it's hard for us to do. For some people who pray, they pray regularly. They can't quit praying. It's in their blood, in their genes, in their life to pray. Allah would not test him with the prayers because He knows already this guy is praying. He tests him with what? With zakat. With zakat. Allah says, I want you to pay zakat. He knows zakat is difficult. Salat is easy, but zakat is difficult. For some people, which is a small minority, Salat is difficult because he was not trained. Since he was a child, his parents, they didn't care about him. Now he's 30, 40, 50 years old. It's extremely difficult for him or her to begin the 5 daily prayers on time. Very difficult. For you guys, you learn the prayers since you were 5 or 6 years old. Now it is in your blood. You are used to it. But don't compare yourself to someone who wants to start the prayers today. It won't be easy. It requires a lot of commitment. A lot of commitment. A lot of responsibility. So for some people, he says the salat is difficult. Zakat I might pay. It's easier for me to pay zakat than doing salat. But Allah says, I want to test you with the prayers, with the salat. Some women, they do salat and zakat and hajj and good wives, good daughters, good sisters. When it comes to hijab, they say, we can't handle it. Allah says, this is your test. I am testing you. Testing your resolve, testing your faith, testing your commitment to me, testing your love to me. If you claim that you love your Lord, you worship Him, show me. Show me in your commitment. So always the test comes with things that are difficult, not things that are easy. With things that we are not used to them, not the things that we are used to them, and it's part of our daily life. It's not part of our daily life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes tests people with speaking the truth. It's not easy to speak the truth. Even for those who pray 5 times a day and they fast the month of Ramadan and more than Ramadan, Rajab and Sha'ban, and those who go to Umrah and Hajj and Ziyarah and this and that and Majalis and Dua and Quran, when it comes to speaking the truth, it's not easy. When speaking to uphold the amana, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, to be committed to the amana, to the trust. When they give him something as an amana, he will keep it, he will protect it, and he will give it back. Give it back to the owners. Safe and sound. If he rents an office, if he rents a house, when the term, the contract ends, he will take back the house safe. He would not damage it. He would not damage the amana that he carries with him. Sometimes the amana is physical and material. Sometimes the amana is spiritual. One of the amanat that we have to take care of them, the secrets of the people around us. Sometimes people entrust us. They entrust us with their secrets. They come to you, they say, we have a problem. I want to share this with you, but this is confidential. This is confidential. I don't want anyone to know about it. Keep the promise. Either say, well, I can't trust anyone else in this masjid but me, because my mouth, I have no control over my mouth. I have no control over my tongue. Or if you give your word, if you give your word that you keep it here, you tell him your secret is safe with me, let it be really safe. This is the amana. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. They uphold. Ra'un means they uphold, they protect, they safeguard the amana, the trust. They don't betray. They don't betray the amana. The other amana is that we are all entrusted with. If you are a male, you are a husband and you are a father. Your children are amana. Your wife are amana with you. How do you deal with this amana? Are they happy with their father? Are wives happy with their husbands? Don't tell me, please. No answer. And then if you are a female, you are either a wife or a daughter, or a sister, or a mother. Your children also are amana with you. Your children, whether they are 1 or 10, they are amana. Trust. Allah has given you this. Allah said, I make you a mother. I want you to raise this child. Make him the best citizens, the best citizen of my kingdom. Are they really taking care of their children? Or neglecting them? Are they taking care of their husbands or neglecting them? These are amana. These are spiritual. Moral, these are not physical. Spiritual and moral. When you have a job, you are a teacher. They entrust you with 10 kids, with 15, with 20. Are you really teaching them? Or you are just wasting your time and their time in the classroom? When you go to your office from 9 to 5, are you really working in the office or doing something else? In some countries, I read a survey in one Arab and Muslim country, they say in 1 month, imagine, in one whole month, how much an average person works here in America for 1 month? How many hours? 1 month. Huh? 1 month. 160 hours? 160. You know, in that Muslim and Arab country, how many hours they work on average, the citizens of that country, a month? 7 hours. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In America, 160 hours, the average. In that country, 7 hours. 7 hours. They go to the office, but when they work, the actual job that they do, the entire month, 7 hours. And then you ask, why do we need America, and why do we need the West, and why do we need the non-Muslims, and why we are backward nation? Because we don't produce. We don't produce. We are lazy. Muslims mostly are lazy. They are lazy. I went to a Muslim country, to the marketplace. I don't mention that Muslim country. Many tourists, they go to that Muslim country. At the peak of the day, where people have to be busy, busy, busy with work, I passed through a street, the coffee houses, the tea houses were packed with young men and women sitting in a coffee house, sipping tea and coffee at 10 a.m., 11 a.m. in the morning. Were they supposed to be in the factories, in the schools, in the hospitals, and the, you know, working, producing, sitting, relaxing? This is not 10 p.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., the peak of the working, the peak of your strength is 10, 11 a.m. Lazy. And then I went to the market of that country. Believe me, I saw them, almost all of them were watching soap opera on television. He's putting them. And you ask him, how much is this? He doesn't hear you. His attention, all at the soap opera. He doesn't answer you. He doesn't answer you. You ask him twice, three times, Hajji, how much is this? He doesn't care about you. Then Allah will help such a person. Allah will give him rizq and sustenance. He's not helping himself. He's not helping himself. Allah would not send him, you know, with UPS, the money to his house. He would not do that. Allah says, if you are lazy, forget about me. I'm not going to pay attention to you. Allah says, show me your hardworking, your sincerity. Go work. I will support you. But if you don't search for work, if you don't want to work, I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to help the lazy one. This is the rule. Allah might help someone who's hardworking, even though he's an atheist or Buddhist or non-believers, but he sees him sincere. On the other hand, Allah would not help someone who's lazy, even if he does 5 daily prayers. He would not help. Allah says, work, go work, show me you are dedicated. Rizq is from me, sustenance from me. So where were we on this story? Amana is when they tell you your job is from 9 to 5, you work from 9 to 5, not from 9 to 4:45, from 9 to 5. This is amana. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ So Allah will test us. Sometimes He will test us with things that are difficult for us, challenging for us. He says, I want to see whether you pass the test or not. So Allah tested Bani Israel in this city of Eilat with fishing. He said to them, 6 days you may fish, the Sabbath you may rest and worship. But they did. Historians, they say 60,000, which is, this is like 90% of them, they did exactly the opposite. They could not resist the temptation. They see the fish coming towards them and they don't touch it, they don't go after it, they could not. Only a few of them, the minority, they remained steadfast. They remained true to their faith, to their belief, and to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ إذ يعدون في السبت إذ تأتيهم حيتانهم يوم سبتهم شرعا. Allah says, I will send the fish to them on Sabbath. I told them, on the one hand, I told them don't fish. On the other hand, I will send the fish to them as a temptation. As a temptation, my friends. يوم سبتهم شرعا ويوم لا يسبتون لا تأتيهم. On the other 6 days, they don't come, they don't show up. They go too far. كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ. Allah says, this is bala, this is a test, imtihan, this is a trial from me. To see the one who's genuine, he's genuine, he sees the fish coming to him and he really needs to capture it, but he remembers, no, this is haram, forbidden, so he stays away. And the one who doesn't care about me, he doesn't care about Allah, dunya and money and business, is more important for him than God, than religious commands. وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. Okay. Now, sometimes Quran tells us that some people, they give preference to the haram over the halal. Some weak-spirited people, those who don't have iman, their iman is not deeply rooted. Sometimes the iman is very shallow. Have you seen summit trees? With the smallest wind coming, the tree is going to... What happens to the tree? It gets knocked down. With the smallest wind. And some of them, no, they withstand. They withstand the hurricane. Nothing happens to them. The faith is like that. For some people, the faith is at the surface. It's not deeply rooted. So with the smallest test that comes, they lose their faith. He prays 5 times a day. He fasts in the month of Ramadan. But if he's invited to a wedding, mixed wedding, where there is crazy music, where there is mixed dancing, when there is sometimes drinking alcohol, he doesn't say no. He goes. He goes there, alhamdulillah, he's happy, mashallah, jumping up and down, you know. So he, on the one hand, he comes to the masjid for the prayers and dua, ilahi, ya Allah. On the other hand, when there is wedding and fasad and, you know, he would go to. What does that mean? It means his salat and his dua and his Quran and his iman is shallow. It's really shallow. Does not hold him back from ma'siyah, from committing sin. The iman that does not hold me back from sin, it's not an iman, it's not faith. It's not faith. This is something, a routine that we are used to it. We are used to it. We do it every day. We get used to it. It's not faith. The one that keeps me away from committing sin and violation is the true iman, the true faith. The true iman. Therefore, sometimes the spirit is weak, and sometimes shaitan also add to this challenge. Shaitan is there. Shaitan does not take a break. Shaitan does not have a sabbath. He works 7 days a week. Have you seen 24/7? 24/7, the only one who works 24/7 is shaitan. 24/7, he's after us. He's running after us. كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. Allah says, I will test you, people, I will test you with something that you like to do, a violation that you like to do. I don't come after you with the things that I know you are firm on it. You are not going to do it. You know, for some people, for instance, drinking alcohol, they would never, 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 ever do it. Never, ever. But when it comes to theft, sariqa, theft, sometimes they get weak, they steal. One of the temptations, one of the sins, he does not go close to them. Khamr, he would never taste it. He would not get close to it. Whatever happens, he wouldn't do. But when it comes to sariqa, sometimes the shaitan can overcome him. The shaitan. He would listen to the shaitan. So would Allah test him in this case with the kham, with the drinking, or with theft? With which one? With theft. Allah says, I know you are already, you would not drink. You would not drink. You would not fornicate. You would not drink. But when it comes to stealing, you would do that. So I am going to test you with what you are weak at, not what with what you are strong at. It's like the teacher, you know. If the teacher, he really wants to give you a hard time sometimes in the classroom, he wants to really, really test you, he will pose a question that he knows you don't know the answer. Or the answer is very difficult for you. He would not give you something that is easy. He wants to see whether you are really intelligent or not. How do you know people are really intelligent or not? When you give them easy questions or difficult questions? Difficult ones. كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. Look at 164 where we conclude, inshallah. Now, after this violation of the Sabbath, when they started putting their nets, you know, installing the nets to capture the fish, and then on Sunday they come and they collect them. The community, when their prophet said to them, this is violation, you are breaking the rules, you are becoming transgressors, mu'tadeen. The community was divided into three groups. The biggest group of the community were the transgressors themselves, those who violated the rules. That was the biggest chunk of it. Another group of them were the minority, those who came to the big group and they said to them, what you are doing is wrong and violation. There was a third group. What was the third group? Ahsant. The third group, those who stood in the middle, neither with this group nor with that group. They said, listen, leave me alone. I'm busy with my life, with my work. Don't get me involved in this. They stood neutral. They never said yes, neither no. Now, is this a group, in your opinion, good group or bad group? Bad group or good group? Bad. Why they are bad? Ahsant. They did not do al-amr bil-ma'roof wal-nahi anil-munkar. They did not enjoin good or forbid evil. They stood in neutral. Now, let me ask you, if there is, God forbid, there is a fire next door, raging fire, strong winds and there is raging fire, and you know about the fire, would you come and tell the people, oh people, there is a fire here next door? Or you remain silent? Which one you do? Definitely you're going to tell the people. You're going to warn them. If there is a danger, you're going to warn them. Allah says when there is a sin, and sin is dangerous. Violations of my rules and my commands is dangerous. So when you see it, don't be silent. If you are silent, we will put you in the group of what? Whom? Those who committed the sin. Because you were indifferent, you didn't do anything. You were indifferent. So you help them. In a way, you help them. When you did not raise your voice and say to them, you are violators. When you did not try to stop them, you joined them. So that was the third group. Now let's listen to this group who opposed fishing on the Sabbath. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Ummah again means a group, although the Arabic terminology of Ummah is what? Nation, great nation. But here it means a smaller group. مِنْهُمْ. مِنْهُمْ, when you have the term مِنْهُمْ, it means smaller group of them. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِظُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. They came to them, to the violators, to the 60,000 violators. They said to them, why did you violate Allah's rules? Allah is testing you here. If you claim that you are real Jews, real worshippers of God, you listen to your Lord, you listen to your prophet, then you should not violate these commands. So they started admonishing them, doing nasiha, and advice to them. So another group said to them, said, why do you waste your time? You are wasting your time with people whom Allah will destroy or visit with a terrible punishment. So don't waste your time and go to them. Listen to the answer. The answer is very important and it is relevant to our time and our life here where we live. Those who are advising and admonishing the violators, their answer was two words. Listen to it. Number one, they said, قالوا, they said, معذرة إلى ربكم ولعلهم يتقون. We are discharging our duty to our Lord. This is number one. What does it mean, discharging our duty to our Lord? We are upholding what principle here? Al-amr bil-ma'roof. Because God asked me that whenever you find something wrong in your house, in your neighborhood, in your community, do you hear this announcement at the airports all the time? What do you hear at the airports, for those of you who travel a lot? Parking. Not the parking. This is outside the airport. I'm saying inside the airport.
About the luggage.
If you see something suspicious, someone or something, call the security. Call 911. Call the police immediately. Because this is your duty. Because your life is going to be in danger. This is a public place. If something happens, not only those people are going to, something happens to them. You also, you are part of them. So your duty is to call. Allah says it's the same in the society, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your house, in your masjid. When you see something wrong, you have to say, you have to speak. Don't just pass, look at it, and say, none of my business. None of my business. Now, of course, the way of raising the voice is different. Some people think they have to carry a gun and start shooting anyone who is back. No. Don't do that. This is Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. They want to destroy the whole world. Allah says, بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنِ. Sometimes you see a husband mistreating his wife. A wife mistreating her husband. A son, a daughter mistreating their parents. Maybe you can talk to them. Don't say they would not listen to me. Maybe there is 1% possibility. 1%. 1 million chance that they would listen to you. Go and speak to them in a nice way. In a convincing way. In a convincing way. You don't have to use force. You don't have to call the police. You may, sometimes a person does not listen to his father, does not listen to his mother, but maybe he listens to a stranger. Maybe sometimes a wife does not listen to her husband, you know, does not listen to her father, but maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend, maybe a stranger when he talks to her. The same thing with the husband. So try to do something. Don't just sit there or pass by saying, this is not none of my business. My family is safe. My house is safe. Why should I trouble myself? Don't say this. Your duty, Allah says, work for the betterment of the humanity. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Be my soldier, be my agent. Be my agent of goodness. Try to bring goodness. So ma'ziratan ila rabbikum. We are discharging our duty towards God. So we can stand before God. God will ask me, listen, there was a problem on that day. Did you hear about it? I say yes. Did you see it? Yes. What did you do about it? If I say no, you think he would be happy with me? He won't be happy with me. مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. The second reason, وَلَعَلَّهُمْ, perchance that they may fear God and go back to God. Perchance. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ. Maybe there is a possibility. I know sometimes people tell me someone drinks alcohol and they don't tell him anything. Why you don't tell him? Because he would not listen to me. Have you tried? No, I haven't tried. But I know he would not listen to me because he did not listen to such and such and such and such. So he is not going to listen to me. Allah says this is not an excuse. Maybe such and such and such, they did not have an influence. By the way, a mu'min, a believer, when he speaks, even if he speaks to the wrong crowd, even if he speaks to the disbelievers, he would have an influence on them. He would have an impact on them. He will have an impact on them. Why he will have an impact? Because there is a rule in the Quran that if you want to tell people not to do something and if you want them to listen to you, you should be the first one not to do that. If you tell people not to steal, but if you are a thief yourself, a veteran, you know, they would never listen to you. If you want to tell people not to drink, if you drink yourself, it would be impossible that they would listen to you. So a mu'min, when he does not commit sins, so when he speaks and tells people don't abuse, don't wrong, don't do injustice, don't be dishonest, don't lie, don't, they would listen to him. Because it is coming from his heart, not just his mouth. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ Perchance. Maybe they are violators, true. But maybe if we go to them and tell them one more time, it will click in here. They will accept from us. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. Let's recite أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرِ. This is an ayah in the Quran, a verse, that at the time of distress, at the time of need, at the time of emergency, at the time of sickness, at these difficult times, when we pray to Allah, Allah would listen, would listen. Maybe He would not listen to all of us, maybe one among us. See, on Friday we did Salatul Istisqa for rain. Nothing happened. Friday, nothing happened. Imagine I left a Friday night from here to New York. We touched down in New York, started to not just rain, snow. We had the snow. So I said, Alhamdulillah, that prayers in Orange County, you know, benefited. But then I came back, believe me, I don't know how many of you noticed that. I came back Sunday night, we touched down at 11:10 p.m. Sunday night. My son was driving me back from LAX to home. I think it was 11:40 p.m. We saw showers. Showers that lasted for 5 or 6 minutes, no more. I said, Subhanallah. Allah would listen. Even if He sends some drops, it means He listens. If we pray, maybe He would not listen to 500. Maybe among those 500 there is a child, small child. He did not do any sins. Maybe a man that we don't even respect him, we don't pay attention to him. He's anonymous, he's someone that not, you know, nobody knows him, his name. But he said from his heart, from the bottom of his heart, Allah would listen. Allah is waiting for a genuine, sincere dua from someone, any person. From any person to go up. He's waiting for that. This is why, let's pray. Laylatul Jumu'ah is a night where Allah is waiting for our salat and dua to go up. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية اللهم المرضى المنظورين ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية من كان في مجلسنا هذا صاحب حاجة اللهم اقضها له وفرج عنه برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان، وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة، وإلى روح المرحوم الدكتور نور الدين آل علي الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.